RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian Defense Minister asks to review military Airbus purchase. Indonesia assessed the Islamic Development Bank IDB more important to help financing funding in Indonesia. Rupiah strengthened by 37 points Tuesday morning. Now the news in detail. Deputy Chairman of Commission 1 at the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR Hasanuddin asked Defense Minister to review a plan to buy a new military aircraft by Airbus Group, Airbus Defense and Space Type A400M. He said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the proposal to buy a military aircraft is an important thing to strengthen defense and security. Ideally, according to him, the Indonesian military should have at least 8 units of heavy military aircraft for the sake of strategy. However, if there are only 1 unit of A400M or 2, it will be difficult. Therefore, he suggested that Defense Ministry refuse the purchase of Airbus Defense and Space Type A400M. He added that if the program is defensive, price of A400M, it would be better to replace it with cheaper products with the same quality. In a press conference on 2015 report on the 41st annual meeting of Islamic Development IDB in Jakarta on Monday, the Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro evaluated that IDB's position is getting strategic in giving benefit for financial funding in Indonesia. According to him, the Indonesian government will soon improve cooperation with IDB. According to the plan, Indonesian government IDB will sign Members Country Partnership Strategy MCPS on Tuesday evening.
Indonesia memandang IDB itu semakin penting.
Indonesia follows that IDB is getting important in terms of development funding in Indonesia. At the moment, the Indonesian government and IDB are arranging Members Country Partnership Strategy MCPS for 2016-2020, and we will sign it. The bottom line is the agreement between IDB and the Indonesian government is about projects or programs in Indonesia that will be supported by IDB. For MCPS 2016-2020, we will focus on physical and social infrastructure, inclusive Islamic financial industry, business sector development, and support on the regional integration.
In
addition, Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that in the 41st IDB annual meeting, there will be new programs to enhance cooperation between Indonesia and IDB, such as slum areas management in Indonesia, which needs $364 million development of 4 university worth $176.5 million, and power network expansion, which takes $330 million. Norwegian ambassador to Indonesia, Stig Trofit, on Monday in Jakarta, hopes that both Indonesia and Norway could further develop their investment and trade cooperation. The ambassador invited Indonesian business people to establish investment in Norway due to its political stability and security. He also calls on Norwegian business people to invest in Indonesia, such as in renewable energy sector.
Norway is very stable, very safe, very stable politically, and now our currency is very weak. So invest now, it will be cheaper for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. and then let's see. I believe that the economy in Norway will also pick up. So I would like to see more trade, more investments. From Norway, I would like to see more investments in energy, especially in renewable energy. And I hopefully this year we could have some good news on that.
Furthermore, Ambassador Steve Trofit also said that export value of both Indonesia and Norway reaches around $200 million a year. He believes that the amount can be doubled in a couple of years, adding that Norway is a potential market for exporters, especially in textile sector. Norway is committed to supporting fishery farming sector in Indonesia. This was stated by Norwegian Ambassador to Indonesia, Stig Trofik, in Jakarta on Monday. He said that Norwegian fishery farming has provided $10 billion income to US dollar for his country's economy over the last 25 years. He believes that Indonesia can do the same way. He said that the fishery cooperation can positively contribute to both Indonesia and Norway.
So our fish farming industry used to be zero 25 years ago. Now it's $10 billion a year. Indonesia can go the same way. So we are now exporting our technology to Indonesia. We're cooperating with Indonesia. We believe that this is a way forward where some jobs can be created in Norway, but many in Indonesia. It can contribute in both countries.
In addition to fishery farming technology, Ambassador Steve Trofit also said that his office sees the potential to establish cooperation in shipping industries. He added that both Indonesia and Norway have started to build several ships in Indonesia by using Norwegian technology. He believes that this could be a starting point to further develop maritime sector cooperation. Ambassador Steve Trofit also pointed out that one of Norwegian's supports is towards Indonesian vision to be maritime access. President of Islamic Development Bank IDB Ahmad Muhammad Ali on a press conference on 2015 report at the 41st annual meeting of IDB in Jakarta on Monday appreciates Indonesian support to the development of IDB until now. He said private sector has become one of the IDB's goals to be developed, enhancing the life of people.
Indonesia really is very important founder of the Islamic Development Bank since 1975 and is a supporter for the development of the IDB group from the beginning until today. So we are really very grateful to Indonesia for the role it played in enhancing the Islamic Development Bank group. We have the Islamic Corporation for Development of Private Sector, ICD, where they cooperate with the private sector in our member countries. We have also ISIC. This is the Islamic Corporation for Investment Guarantee and Export Credit Guarantee.
In addition, Ahmad Muhammad Ali also explained Indonesia has highly contributed on the technical cooperation mechanism on IDB in supporting member countries through the stake link. He said IDB has a commitment to support Indonesia in fashioned development challenges, especially in the field of alleviating poverty, enhancing infrastructure and capacity. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that the city has successfully eradicated child exploitation issue with the removal of 3-in-1 carpooling regulation. Governor Basuki hopes that the child exploitation can be completely eradicated since Jakarta administration has issued Jakarta Smart Card for poor residents. The card can be used for health treatments or tuition fees. In addition, he also believes that the removal of a carpooling system will not face any difficulties. Aside from the availability of a Waze app, which enables people to seek alternative routes to avoid congestion, Jakarta public transport has also been improved. Jakarta Transportation Department has decided to scrap 3-in-1 policy. The decision has taken effect starting Monday, May 16, 2016. The decision to remove 3-in-1 regulation was made after a joint meeting of Jakarta City Transport Council and Jakarta Metropolis Traffic Directorate on Tuesday, May 10, 2016. The last item, rupiah exchange rate transacted among banks in Jakarta on Tuesday morning strengthened by 37 points into 13,266 rupiah compared to the previous position, 13,303 rupiah per US dollar. Economist Asamuel Sekuritas Rangga Cipta in Jakarta said on Tuesday that US dollar experienced pressure on the majority of the world's currency including rupiah following the strengthening world's crude oil price. He said that the rising world oil price pressed U.S. dollar against currency of commodity exporting countries, including Indonesia. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled The Third Fallen Dead Penalty. A few days ago, Attorney General Prasetyo gave a signal that the third fallen of execution for death row inmates, particularly drug dealers, would be soon conducted, though the time has not been decided yet. There are reasons why the death penalty still exists in Indonesia. One of the reasons is that currently Indonesia is in a state of emergency against drugs and has declared war on the circulation of these harmful substances. Indeed, the death penalty should not be used as a media consumption like what happened in the last death execution a few months ago. However, it seems the death penalty was made to set public opinion. It is no pleasant when a country has to impose the death penalty on a person, although the man has been found guilty and unlawful and detrimental to national life. Like those involved in the distribution and misuse of drugs, because it can destroy the young generation. For Indonesia at present, apparently, the capital punishment is still considered necessary, especially to give deterrent effect. The death penalty is still being debated by many people, and it poses pros and cons from both inside and outside the country. The outcry mainly comes from countries whose citizens are included in the list of those sentenced to death. However, the death penalty is part of Indonesian rule of law and must be respected. In addition to the countries whose citizens had been or will be executed, the human rights activists are most often protesting the execution of the death sentence, since it is considered a violation of human rights, namely the right to live. Today, almost all European countries have abolished death penalty from their laws. For Indonesia, the potential for conflict in the community through debates about the pros and cons of capital punishment must be anticipated. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. Well, listener, let's begin with the date of May 17, 1939, White Boot Palestine was published. On May 17, 1939, the British government published a book entitled The White Paper, which is a preparation of establishment of State of Israel. In this book, it is mentioned about the planned formation of an independent Palestinian state with dual nationalities, namely Muslims and Jews. In addition, the book also predicted that by 1945, 100,000 Jews would move to Palestine, and since that time, the arrival of Jews should get the approval of the Arab nation. The Palestinians rejected the plan outlined in the book, so did the Zionists. In 1942, at a conference in the USA, the Zionists officially planned the establishment of Zionist state on land owned by Palestinians. On May 17, 1973, the session of the Watergate scandal began in the US Senate and broadcast on television. Watergate was a major political scandal that occurred in the United States in 1970s, following a break-in at the Democratic National Committee, DNC, headquarters at the Watergate office complex in Washington, D.C., and President Richard Nixon administration attempted corporate office involvement. When the conspiracy was discovered and investigated by the U.S. Congress, the Nixon administration resistance to its probes led to a constitutional crisis. The scandal led to the discovery of multiple abuses of power by Nixon administration, articles of impeachment, and the resignation of Nixon as President of the United States on August 9, 1947. The last event on May 17, 1980, the launch of National Book Day. The inauguration of the National Library on May 17, 1980 in Jakarta was also declared as the National Book Day by the Minister of National Education, Abdul Malik Fajar. The National Book Day idea came from Book Lovers Community Group, which aims to spur interest in reading in Indonesia while increasing sale of the books. National Day of the Book is expected to improve and preserve the culture of book reading. With the creation of a reading culture, people's knowledge and science will increase. Listener, that's today's In History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia-South Korea agree on business deal worth $18 billion. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The state visit of Indonesia's President Joko Widodo to South Korea began Monday, May the 16th, resulted in a business deal worth $18 billion, equivalent to 253 trillion rupiahs. This is a step forward amid current unstable global economy. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, who accompanied the president, said the business deal consists of investment commitments from 7 South Korean companies worth $15.8 billion and 4 memorandum of understanding signed between a South Korean company and Indonesia valued at $2.2 billion. According to Frankie Sibarani, business deals announced on Monday showed investors' confidence in South Korea on the investment climate in Indonesia, including the various reforms in the field of investment that have been and are being implemented now and in the future. Frankie Sibarani said the board and Indonesian embassy in Seoul will oversee that the business deal can be realized. The business deal announced in Seoul, South Korea on Monday included the investment commitment of Korea Gas Corporation, KOGAS, in the field of gas infrastructure worth $10 billion. Previously, in front of about 450 Korean entrepreneurs in a business forum in Seoul on Monday, President Joko Widodo explained that although the world economy is unstable, when the stock market in the People's Republic of China is slowing down and oil prices in the United States fell, the rupiah currency remains stable. To the Korean entrepreneurs, President Joko Widodo also said that Indonesia is building infrastructures such as highways, railways, ports, airports, and dams for irrigation. Besides, President Joko Widodo said the government also to deregulate the economy to ease investment and as business support for entrepreneurs from both inside and outside the country. The president said he will continue the economic reforms, simplify business regulations and investment, and open economic cooperation. That was Focus Today on Indonesia-South Korea agree on business deal worth $18 billion. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana, Deputy Chairman of Commission 1 at the Indonesian House of the Representative DPR. Hasanuddin asked Defense Minister to review a plan to buy a new military aircraft by Airbus Group, Airbus Defense and Space Type A400M. In a press conference on 2015 report on the 41st annual meeting of Islamic Development IDB in Jakarta Monday, the Indonesian Finance Minister Bambu Brojonegoro evaluated that IDB's position is getting strategic in giving benefit for financial funding in Indonesia. Norwegian Ambassador to Indonesia Stig Trofvik on Monday in Jakarta hopes that both Indonesia and Norway could further develop their investment and trade cooperation. Norway is committed to supporting fishery farming sector in Indonesia. This was stated by Norwegian Ambassador to Indonesia Stig Trofvik in Jakarta on Monday. President of Islamic Development Bank IDB Ahmad Muhammad Ali on a press conference on 2015 report at the 41st annual meeting of IDB in Jakarta Monday appreciates Indonesia's support to the development of IDB until now. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that the city has successfully eradicated child exploitation issue with the removal of 3-in-1 carpooling regulation. Rupiah exchange rate transacted among banks in Jakarta on Tuesday morning strengthened by 37 points into 30,266 rupiah compared to the previous position, 13,303 rupiah per US dollar. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 9525 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit South Sumatra Province. Stay tuned. Listener, when you traveling to South Sumatra, you have to visit Lubuk Linggau town. The city has a great tourism potential to be visited, such as Temam Waterfall, Sulap Hill, and Waterfang Dam that became leading tourism destination places in the region. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you to one of the three attraction objects, namely Temam Waterfall. Temam Waterfall is very popular in Lubuk Linggau because this waterfall has its own enchantment and quite different from the waterfalls in other regions. Generally, the waterfall is towering highly. However, Temam Waterfall extends to the side like Niagara Waterfall in the US, but the size is smaller. Listener, Temam Waterfall is located in Rahmah Village, Lubuk Linggau, South Sumatra, with a distance of 11 kilometers from the city center of Lubuk Linggau to the south, or approximately less than 30 minutes away by motor vehicle through two entrances. The entrance to the Rahmah Village or directly to Temam Waterfall with road conditions is pretty good. The waterfall itself is located about 50 meters from the road that connecting Air Temam Village and Rahmah Village. Lubuk Linggau can be reached with 6.5-hour drive with a motor vehicle from Palembang. As another alternative, the city can also be reached via Bengkulu, which is about 4-hour drive through Kapahyang City and Curup. By paying ticket for only 2,000 rupiah, you can enter the Temam Waterfall. Entering this waterfall, from the parking area, you do not have to walk too far to get the waterfall. If you want to see the beautiful waterfalls from below, you can down a few stairs to reach the river mouth or the downstream waterfall. From here, the beauty of the waterfall with huge rocks and surrounded by lush shade trees can be enjoyed. This waterfall can also be enjoyed from the top. The beauty of this waterfall can also be enjoyed from another angle. A suspension bridge that stretches above this waterfall becomes a connecting road to reach the other side of the tourism object. The Mang Waterfall has a 12 meters high and 25 meters wide. The waterfall is surrounded by shady trees, which makes the atmosphere so fresh. At this waterfall, you can play around and sit on the rocks, or you can swim in the water pool with 4 meters depth. Make sure you are careful when you are around the waterfall or walk among the rocks, because the rocks here are usually slippery. Do not forget to capture the beauty of the waterfall by taking pictures in front of the Tamam waterfall. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Tamam Waterfall. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in the conversation. Today's topic is keluar kota, or in English, going out of town. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Besok. Besok in English, tomorrow. Kami. Kami. We. Pergi. Pergi. To go. Keluar kota. Keluar kota. Out of town. Kamu. Kamu. You. Periksa. Periksa. To check. Kondisi, kondisi, condition. Mobil, mobil, car. Berangkat, berangkat, to leave or to depart. Jam berapa, jam berapa, what time? Jam 7 pagi, jam 7 pagi, 7 p.m. Datang, datang, to come. Lebih pagi, lebih pagi, earlier. Hari ini, hari ini, today. Juga, juga, also, to. Ganti, ganti, to change. Oli, oli, lubricant. Selain itu, besides. Periksa, periksa, check up. Ban, ban, tire. Tidak ada, tidak ada, nothing. Masalah, masalah, problem. Antar, antar, to take or to deliver. Ke kantor, to the office. Bengkel, bengkel, garage or auto shop. Next is conversation on keluar kota, or in English, going out of town. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Michael and driver at Michael's home. Besok kami mau pergi keluar kota. Besok kami mau pergi keluar kota, in English. Tomorrow we are going out of town. Coba kamu periksa kondisi mobil. Coba kamu periksa kondisi mobil. Would you please check the car's condition? Baik, Pak. Baik, Pak. Very well, sir. Besok kita berangkat jam berapa?
besok kita berangkat jam berapa? What time are we leaving tomorrow? Kita besok berangkat jam 7 pagi. Kita besok berangkat jam 7 pagi. We are leaving at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Apakah kamu bisa datang lebih pagi? Apakah kamu bisa datang lebih pagi? Can you come earlier tomorrow? Bisa, Pak. Kalau bisa hari ini saya juga mau ganti oli. Bisa, Pak. Kalau bisa hari ini saya juga mau ganti oli. I can, sir. If possible, I'd like to change the lubricant too today. Selain itu, saya akan periksa ban. Selain itu, saya akan periksa ban. Besides, I'll check the tires. Ya, tidak ada masalah. Ya, tidak ada masalah. Yes, no problem. Besok, kamu antar saya dulu ke kantor. Besok, kamu antar saya dulu ke kantor. Tomorrow, you take me first to the office. Setelah itu, kamu ke bengkel. Setelah itu, kamu ke bengkel. After that, you go to the garage. Baik, Pak. Baik, Pak. Very well, sir. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs. From the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to an Indonesian group band, Leto. A band from Yogyakarta, which was formed in 2004 with personnel Noe, the vocalist, Patup, the guitarist, Aryan, the bassist, and Dedok, the drummer. Listener, let's listen to the first song, entitled Ruang Rindu by Leto Band. Happy listening.
Di daun yang ikut mengalir lembu, terbawa sungai ke ujung mata, dan aku mulai takut terbawa cinta, menghirup rindu yang sesakkan dada. Jalanku hampa dan ku sentuh dia, terasa hangat, oh, di dalam hati ku pegang erat. Dan selalu ku ingat kelingan matamu dan sentuhan hangat. Ku saat itu takut mencari makna, tumbuhkan rasa yang sesakkan dada.
is one of the leading songs on the latter first album, entitled Truth, Cry, and Lie. The album, which was released in 2006, achieved an award of newcomer album category in the SCTV Music Award event 2007. As the title suggests, the song Ruang Rindu tells about a man who has love feeling that has not been expressed to the beloved girl. The song is full of beautiful lyrics and poetic. Leto's songs are not only well received in Indonesia, but also in neighboring countries such as Malaysia. Leto's songs like Ruang Rindu and Sandaran Hati managed to occupy the top charts on several radio stations in Malaysia at that time. The album also received an award of Planet Music 2007 as the best music group in Singapore on June 8, 2007. In 2015, the song Ruang Rindu of Japanese version was dedicated by a singer from the Sakura country, Hiroaki Kato. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sebelum Cahaya by Leto Band. Happy listening.
Yang menemanimu sebelum cahaya, ingatkan kau kepada angin yang berhembus mesra yang kan membelaimu cinta. Kekuatan hati yang berpegang janji, genggamlah tanganku cinta, ku tak akan pergi meninggalkanmu sendiri. Temani hatimu cinta. Cinta, ingat
Sebelum Cahaya that you have just listened become the leading song at the second Leto album entitled Do Not Make Me Sad, which was released on August 16, 2007. Not only unique, the music video of the song was supported by Amanda, a deaf model. The lyrics of the song is about someone who feels lonely since friends abandoned him or her. Part of the proceeds from the sale of this album dedicated by Leto to make books in Braille. Another interesting song in this album entitled Permintaan Hati with a wonderful rhythm. Furthermore, Leto released several albums as Leto Logica in 2009, Cinta Bersabarlah in 2011, and a number of singles. The song Cinta Bersabarlah seems the band's request to the fans for being patient to look forward the next latest works. During their career in the Indonesian music, Leto also received platinum certification for their songs. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sandaran Hati and Sampai Mati. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Yakinkah ku berdiri di empat tanpa tepi? Bolehkah aku mendengarmu? Terkubur dalam emosi, tak bisa bersembunyi. Aku dan nafasku
tanganku, bimbing langkah kaki.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Terbuai aku hilang, terjatuh aku dalam keindahan penantian. Terucap keraguan hati yang bimbang, yang terhalang kepastian cinta. Yang tersimpan suci tak bertuan, terasa kerinduan hati yang bimbang, yang terhempas.
kepastian cinta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Langkahmu
kasih, ambisi. Apakah kalbumu terasa sunyi? Luangkanlah sejenak detik dalam hidupmu. Berikanlah rindumu pada denting waktu. Luangkanlah sejenak detik dalam.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.